In the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning. Someone once said that the gospel is meant to comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable. In today's gospel lesson, we hear Jesus say some pretty radical things like, "I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. I have come to set a man against his father and a daughter against her mother. For those who find their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it." Now, I don't know about you, but these words make me feel just a tad bit uncomfortable and slightly afflicted. A Scottish Presbyterian minister by the name of Ian Pitt Watson once said there have been two great revolutions in the history of mankind. Two things that have changed human life on this planet irreversibly and forever. The first revolution began many years ago when someone somewhere came up with the idea of farming. Although we don't know exactly who it was, this farmer was the leader of the first revolution. Before farming, human beings had been hunters and gatherers. They lived from day to day. They moved from place to place. And there was no such thing as home. That is, until one day, someone discovered something very strange and fascinating. If you dig a hole in the ground, and you take a small seed, and you drop that seed in the hole, and you cover it up with dirt, and you walk away, something incredible happens. Now, ironically, this sounds like the recipe for getting rid of something. But as we know, if you do it with a seed, something miraculous happens. Pretty soon, something in the soil calls out to something in the seed saying, "Wake up." And the seed does. Even PhDs in plant physiology are baffled and call it a miracle when that little embryo inside the seed wakes up and begins to be nourished by the soil. And pretty soon that little seed begins to sprout, and eventually it is transformed into a plant or a tree that bears fruit and gives life. However, before any of this can occur, before this tiny seed can be transformed into a beautiful, life-giving plant or tree, something else has to happen. First, that seed has to die. In other words, to die and to be buried, which looks like the seed's very end, turns out to be only its beginning. The second revolution, Watson said, occurred 2,000 years ago when God entered our world and became flesh and blood, became one of us. This time we know exactly who the revolutionary was. We know when he lived, we know what he taught, and we know how he died. And most importantly, we know what happened to him after he died. Through his words and actions, Jesus Christ gave us a new way of living, a new way of being, and a new way of bearing fruit in this world. His teaching was very similar to that of the first revolution. No sacrifice, no harvest. Only Jesus was not talking about seeds. He was talking about you and me. Jesus said, "This is the way life works. You have got to be willing to sacrifice something before you get anywhere." Or as he puts it in today's gospel lesson, "Those who find their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it." According to Watson, this is the truth of the world's second revolutionary, Jesus Christ. In order to live, we must die. Now imagine if we are really honest with ourselves, this truth that Watson is talking about is not very comforting for most of us here this morning. After all, words like sacrifice and death are not very popular in our modern culture. Instead, our society spends large quantities of money, time, and energy on products that make us look and feel younger. Products that promise to extend our lives. Products designed to keep death at bay for just a bit longer. However, today's epistle and gospel lessons invite us to be united with Christ in death and to lose our life for His sake. They remind us that we can only experience resurrection and new life if we don't get caught up on death and dying. If we don't get frightened and preoccupied with losing our lives for Christ's sake. I really like how the Christian author Barbara Brown Taylor describes this. She says, "Fear of death always turns into fear of life, into a cautious way of living that really isn't living at all. The way to have abundant life is not to try to carefully and save and store it, but to give it away, because life cannot be shut up and saved any more than fresh spring water can be placed into a mason jar and kept in a kitchen cupboard. You can probably still drink it, but it will have lost its essence, which is to be poured out, living water, rushing downstream to share its wealth without ever looking back." Yet as we know, it's one thing to understand and logically comprehend this concept, and quite another to actually live it out. After all, we live in a consumer culture that tells us over and over again that the key to a successful and happy life is not found in giving our lives away, but in obtaining more, in obtaining a newer car, a bigger house, a better paying job, or whatever it may be that we have our hearts set upon. In direct contrast to today's gospel lesson, our world tells us that the meaning of life is found out there. And so if we want to become happy and content people, let us sacrifice nothing. For those who want to save their life will fill it with more. And so Jesus asks us to die to this illusion. He asks us to die to the lie that we can have our deepest desires met outside of a relationship with God. Not because He is selfish or because He is cruel, but because it simply doesn't work. But as we know, this doesn't stop us from trying, does it? It doesn't stop us from investing our ultimate hopes and dreams in our careers and portfolios, in our achievements and accomplishments, in our reputations and resumes. And as Jesus reminds us in today's gospel, even in our spouses, in our children, and in our family members. And of course, all these things are good and wonderful in themselves. But when we place anything at the very center of our lives other than God, even the best things in life can distort our relationship with God and with one another. So whatever that idol may be, whatever it is that's out there that we think to ourselves, if only I had that in my life, then I would finally be complete and whole and happy. That is the very thing that needs to die. C.S. Lewis, in his book Mere Christianity, puts it like this. "Submit to death, death of your ambitions and favorite wishes every day. Submit with every fiber of your being. Look for yourself, and you will find in the long run only hatred, loneliness, despair, and decay. But look for Christ, and you will find Him, and with Him, everything else thrown in." In other words, what has to die in each one of us is our desire to be happy and whole people apart from God. After all, if we want to be truly happy, If we want to be whole, if we want to know who we are and why we're here in the first place, Jesus says, take up the cross and follow me. For those who find their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. One day a Sunday school teacher was trying to explain to her class how we cannot get to heaven through our own actions and through our own efforts. So she asked her class, if I sold my house and I sold my car and I had a big garage sale and I gave all the money to the church, would that get me into heaven? No, the children shouted. Well, what if I cleaned the church every day and I mowed the yard and I kept everything nice and neat and tidy? Would that get me into heaven? Again, the children responded with the collective, no. Well, what if I was really kind to all people and I gave candy to all the good children? Now, surely that would get me into heaven. But again, the class responded, no. Well, then how can I get into heaven? To which a young boy enthusiastically raised his hand in the air and said, first you gotta die. Today's lessons are not just talking about our physical death and the life that awaits us when we physically die, but also about the new life that can be ours right here and right now. As we know, eternal life with God doesn't start the day we stop breathing. It starts the day we receive the free gift of what God has already done for us through Christ's ultimate sacrifice for the whole world. After all, we do not find our lives in God by deciding to try harder through our own strength and through our own efforts. This only leads to more frustration and failure. Instead, it is only with God's grace that we are able to let go, to surrender ourselves to God. And then there is new life. This is the greatest revolution that has ever occurred in the history of our world. And with God's grace, it can happen to you and to me. If we will die, we can live. For those who find their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. Amen.